All right, we're beginning here with the Mishnah on the bottom of Lamed Vav and Bet. The Mishnah says, Kol mitzvah shi tluya ba'aretz, eno noheget elo ba'aretz. Any mitzvah that is connected to the land, the Gemara will discuss, and we'll discuss it then, what that means, tluya ba'aretz. But the Mishnah states that if it is tluya ba'aretz, then it's only relevant ba'aretz. She'ena tluya ba'aretz, it's not connected to the land, noheget ben ba'aretz, ben b'chutz la'aretz. Then it has application whether you're in Eretz Yisrael or whether you're outside of Eretz Yisrael. Chutz min orla v'kilayim. Orla and kilayim, which are clearly connected to the land of Israel. Despite that fact, they have application outside of Eretz Yisrael. The Mishnayot tell us that orla is a lacha l'moshe misinai, and kilayim is midivrei sofrim, midirabanan, are applicable even in chutz la'aretz, not just in Eretz Yisrael. Then we have Rabbi Elazar Omer, Af Achadash. So to Chadash, it's not clear if Rabbi Elazar is modifying the first half of the Mishnah or the second half of the Mishnah. When he says Af Achadash, does that mean it's in the list of exceptions? Or does that mean it's in the original rule that was mentioned before? And the Gemara will discuss that. Alright, so now Tosfot over here already brings the question from the Yushalmi, which is here the Gemara does not address the issue of Challah. Challah is something that we practice both in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz La'aretz, despite the fact that it seemingly is Tluya Ba'aretz. And so why does our Mishnah not address Challah when it said Chutz Min Orlah Ve'akilayim? It should have also said Chutz Min Achallah, which also has application in Chutz La'aretz. So now the Tosfot brings the answer of the Yushami, which is V'lo Mayri Matnitin Ela B'dvarim Anoegim B'Yisrael U'Be'ovdei Kochavim. Our Mishnah only deals with issues that are applicable equally to Jews and non-Jews. That means that produce of non-Jews would be subject, or things that grew on the land of non-Jews would be subject to the same rules. So challah is only applicable to a gilgul if it was needed by a Jew, and therefore it's not included in the list over here. As opposed to what is listed over here in our Mishnah, which applies equally to Jews and non-Jews. Tosafot then parlays that into a question and says, how come the Gemara there never asks about Trumot and Masrot? Trumot and Masrot, which do have application in Eretz Yisrael, and also in Chutz La'aretz. There are areas around Eretz Yisrael which are also subject to Trumot and Masrot. So how come that's also not listed as an exception in our Mishnah? He says, first of all, he says, Od Yesh Lomar, Dainu Taimad Lo Bai B'Truma Maser. Here's the reason they didn't ask about Truma Maser. Because in Chutz La'aretz, land doesn't belong to us anymore. There's no such thing as private ownership. They belong to the king. And we have to pay taxes to the king in order to use the land. It's not our land. It's owned by the government. And in essence, you're leasing it from the government by paying the taxes that are due on the land. If you don't pay the taxes on the land, you lose the land. So you're not the true owner of the land. And since it's not your land, therefore you don't give Trumot to Masrot. Says Vim Tomar, Be'eretz Yisrael nami mishuboto odheim lemelech. How's that different than what's going on in Israel? It's the same din. He says, Vafilo achi mafrishim Trumah Maser. And yet, despite that fact, we take off Trumot to Masrot. It says that non-Jews don't have the power to remove the Kedushat Ha'aretz so that you don't have to give Truma Maser. Maybe that's the reason to explain why Truma Maser is left out. And then he says, this is very important. From this Yerushalmi, the implications are that anything that's mentioned in this Mishnah is equally applicable to Jews and non-Jews, which means that Kilayim and Orla are also relevant to non-Jews. Even if it's a non-Jewish vineyard, you have to worry about Kilayim, or you have to worry about Orla. And then he asks about instances or circumstances where in Europe we're buying from non-Jewish vineyards, and yet there were suspicions or problems possibly of Orla. So he comes up with answers for that, but you see here that says broader implications because it's not just relevant to Jewish lands. And that's borne out by the Mishnayot in Kilayim. But if you know for certain that it is Kilayim or that it is Orla, you cannot buy from them. You cannot take the produce from them. It's only if you don't know, then we have a suffix, the kula, in some of these instances. But Otherwise, you have to be careful because it has equal application to Jews and non-Jews. Now, Rabbeinu Tam over here suggests that the answer to the question is why the Yerushalmi didn't bring down Trumot and Masrot is because Trumot and Masrot are no goat midoraita in Chutz Laretz, which is a big chiddush of the Rabbeinu Tam. It's brought down by the Shita Mekubetzet also, but that would have obviously huge implications if those that is true that the Trumot and Masrot are no goat in Chutz Laretz or Moab and Mitzrayim are the places that are karov there to sell midoraita. That would have much more serious implications. The Balei Tosfot themselves reject this answer of the Rabbeinu Tam and say in the end that the answer to the question is that Shumot and Masrot are not noheget b'chutz laretz. Noheget right in only in places that are proximate to Eretz Yisrael. So it's not a general din that applies in chutz laretz. It's a din that only applies to adjacent lands to Eretz Yisrael. And that's why the Mishnah doesn't say that, because it would have to then say chutz min orla kilayim, which are applicable anywhere in chutz laretz, versus Trumot and Masrot, which are not applicable anywhere in the Chutz Laretz, only applicable in those areas that are adjacent to Eretz Yisrael. So that is the answer to the Tosafot. The most controversial part of the Tosafot is in the last line on the Lamed Vav Amud Bet, which is V'nira the Chadash Noheg B'Zman Hazeh. This Chadash is applicable today. V'kach, V'esh Lizeher, Shem Adam Yodeh V'Vadai, She'Sorim Nizru'u Achar Zman HaKravat Omer. If you know for certain that they were planted after HaKravat Omer, Dainu achar yudvav nisan, shalo yocham mehem. Umisafek, ein lesor kol asorim, just because of a safek, we're not going to say all the barley is problematic, came into rov asorim nizru kodem tetzayim ben nisan. Since the majority is planted before tetzayim ben nisan. Ubishami nami mashma, techadash noeg af bishal ovdei kol chavim. And based on this Yushami, it means that chadash would apply not only to Jews, but even to non-Jewish lands. So Tosafot over here indicates that the locha is that it is as application in Chutz Laretz, and not only is it application in Chutz Laretz, it even applies to non-Jewish lands in Chutz Laretz, not just Jewish lands in Chutz Laretz, because the Din of Chodosh is independent of who owns the land. It's the fact that the produce was planted post the Omer, not pre the Omer, which leads us into this sugyo of Chodosh Bizman Hazeh. Now Chodosh Bizman Hazeh, it's clear that in Eretz Yisrael it is applicable. In Eretz Yisrael, it's not really problematic because there are only really three, I think, major mills within Eretz Yisrael, and those three major mills are all makbid on Yashan, and so therefore you don't get any grain that is chadash. It's very hard. If you really wanted to buy grain that was chadash, it'd be hard to find it inside of Eretz Yisrael because the mills don't produce chadash grain. Everything is done to be Yashan. In Chutz Laretz, question of whether the din applies is a major machloket, both in terms of the sugyot, as well as a question within the Rishonim as to whether it still applies in Chutz Laretz or doesn't apply in Chutz Laretz. Part of that has to do with our mission over here. The mission over here seems to indicate that it's a Shito Yachid, that it deals with Chodosh, and says Chodosh is an exception. I'm jumping the gun. I'm telling you that the Gemara is going to read Rabbazah the Chumrah, which is the, right, is the Chumrah, which is that Chodosh does apply in Chutz Laretz. The question is, then do we paskin like a dat yochid, which would be surprising. Generally, we paskin like the majority opinion, not like the dat yachid. The problem is that you have mishnayot both in Zraim and you have mishnayot in Menachot, and the mishnayot in Zraim seem to indicate that halacha is like Rabbi Elazar, the Yushalmi, the Tosefot, all seem to indicate that halacha is that way. The mishnayot in Menachot seem to indicate that maybe the halacha is not like Rabbi Elazar. We favor, or most of the poskim favor, the fact that the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar. Those that argue against that say that the main sugya should be a menachot. That's where the sugya of grains and menachot deal with, and that's the topical sugya, and therefore that should govern what the halacha is. And so therefore, based on those mishnayot and menachot that seem to indicate otherwise, that chadash is not applicable in Chutz Laretz today, then that should be the din. Now, you hear or see here from the Balei Tosafot, and for many of the Rishonim, that they speak about the fact that Chodosh is applicable in Chutz Laretz. Now they said that, or describing what the problems were, or the issues in terms of Chodosh, most of the time you come out with what the Balei Tosafot say here, which is it's just not relevant. All the planting and all the rooting of the grains was prior to the Omer. And if that's the case, then in the 90% of the cases, they were Yashan. He says, if you know for sure it's Chodosh, then fine, but in most cases it was Yashan. The poskim start to talk about it as the Jewish settlement moves north or into Russia, where the winters extend for a much longer period of time and it's much colder. And therefore it's clear that the planting season is happening after Hakrabat Omer and not before Hakrabat Omer. And so there you see the poskim starts trying to deal with the issue that there should be a problem of Chadash in these areas because these areas are clearly planting after the Omer. This would be Chadash, it's a din d'oraita. It would apply, if it applies in Chutz Laaretz, it applies d'oraita in Chutz Laaretz. And so therefore, the poskim there are trying to come up with ways either to be mekel or to be melamed zchut on the people that are doing this. But in the end, they're bound or stuck in many cases because it's so obvious that this stuff is being planted after the Omer. So what seemingly happened in Chutz Laaretz is that there are definitely poskim who believe that Chadash is not subject, or that the rules of Chadash don't apply in Chutz Laaretz. There's another set of poskim who seemingly we pass and like, and it seems to be the majority of poskim that believe it is applicable in Chutz Laaretz, but that circumstances in general made it that Chadash wasn't such an issue in most of the instances. By the time it became an issue, people were so entrenched in the way that they were acting that it's almost as if the mitzvah went by the wayside. Same thing happens in America, where originally Chadash was not an issue inside of America because of the strategic reserves of the grains that were kept in America. Before, in the 1980s, when the government of America decided and opened up the possibility of selling grain and wheat to Russia, then there was always stored wheat, and therefore it was almost impossible, again, to get Chadash. Almost everything that was processed was Yashan. So therefore it was never an issue when they first dealt with the issue inside of America. After the grains opened up the possibility of selling grains to the USSR at the time, then this issue came to the forefront again in terms of Chadash and Yashan. But once again, people were so entrenched and didn't even think about it that Chadash and Yashan went by the wayside. What's more amazing is that the kashrut organizations in America don't deal with this. They almost ignore the issue. Many times when you have cereals that are imported here to Israel, the hechsherim are good hechsherim from America, and yet you'll see there's a sticker put on by the Rabbanut in Israel that they can't guarantee that this is Yashan, because the institutions in America don't guarantee that the grains that are used in the cereals are Yashan. And therefore they say when they import the cereals here, it says that there could be a possibility of chashash of chadash, because the problem of the fact that these grains could have been chadash grains when they processed the cereals. And it's true in terms of any other thing that involves use of grains that the American kashrut organizations are not so makpid. You can find certain bakeries, you can find certain places where they say we only use yoshan flour, everything here is yoshan, but the generic hechsherim that are given to cereals, chocolate bars, anything that deals with grains, there is no indication whether it's chadash or yoshan, and I'm pretty sure that the organizations themselves don't even check whether it's chadash or yoshan. And therefore, it's a more serious issue within America now. It's easier now when you cross over right by the Omer. It's much easier because anything on the shelves, already once you've crossed through the Omer, now becomes yoshan. You don't have to worry about it. The bigger issues come up later on in the year, where the produce that's made then becomes an issue, partly because of the fact, again, what we spoke about, the strategic reserves, as well as the fact that there's clearly a summer wheat season in America. There are actually two times that they plant. In America, they plant winter wheat and then summer wheat. The summer wheat clearly is after the Omer, and that summer wheat, when it's harvested and used, is used as clearly chodosh at that time. And that will be a couple of months or up to 6 months prior to the Hakrabat Omer, and that's really where the main issue comes up. Right now, as you cross over the Omer, all this gets cleared up, and then the process will start again, by which the cycle of the grains that are planted and then harvested and then used, then you have to worry about it as you come through the year or later on in the year. So, I'll send you the Mikorot. It's a very interesting topic, but most interesting is the sociological phenomenon that even though seemingly the poskim really worry about Chodosh and Chutz Laaretz, and it's a din d'oraita, where generally we would be machmir when it comes to din d'oraita, especially by Sfekot, yet everybody's looking for kulot, everybody's trying to say belamid zchut on the people, and in general, I would say the rule of people are not machmir on Chodosh in Chutz Laaretz, despite the fact that it seemingly is an issue. All right. So now the Gemara asks, my tluya, what does it mean that it's dependent? My shena tluya, it's not dependent. Ilema, if you want to say tluya, dichtiba bi'a, that tluya means that it's dependent on coming into the land of Israel. Tluya ba'aretz here Baretz can have two meanings. Baretz can mean Eretz Yisrael. Baretz can mean the land of Israel, the physical land of Israel. And the interpretation of Tuluya would be different in each of those cases. Tuluya Baretz could mean that it means Eretz Yisrael, and Tuluya means that when you enter Eretz Yisrael, the mitzvah is relevant. Until you enter Eretz Yisrael, the mitzvah is not relevant. That's one way to explain Tuluya Baretz. The other way to explain Tuluya Baretz means the karka of Eretz Yisrael, and Tuluya means that it's something that's dependent on being planted in the ground of Israel. That's what the Gemara is unclear about over here, what seemingly is obvious to us from the Mishnah, because we know the answer of the Gemara. But here the question of the Gemara is, which Eretz are we speaking about? Are we speaking Eretz Yisrael? Are we speaking about the karka of Eretz Yisrael? And then the definition of Tuluya would be different. So the first attempt is, then the dependence here is not on the land of Israel in of itself, but entering into Eretz Yisrael. Bia, Tuluya means that mitzvah only comes relevant once you enter into Eretz Yisrael. Before you enter into Eretz Yisrael, it's not relevant. Is that what the Mishnah is speaking about? Varei tefillin upetar chamor. What are you going to do with tefillin upetar chamor? Is it Parshat Bo? And we're going to read this, the Parshiot of Kadesh and Kol Bechor. So over there it's Ichti Behen Bia. Over there it talks about when you come into the land of Israel. Noagim ben Baaretz and ben Bechutz Laaretz. And they are applicable both in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz Laaretz. Gemara brings no evidence of that fact, that they are applicable in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz Laaretz. It just makes an assumption that that is the case. Rashi says over here, why? Tefillin Ashkechan become a duchtin derabonan amurai duchol manchei tefillin. That we find many of the amuraim in Bavel were putting on tefillin. So obviously it's a mitzvah that's applicable in Chutz Laaretz because we have evidence of the fact that people were putting on tefillin. It's like masim shebchol yom. We see that people are putting on tefillin in Chutz Laaretz. So that must be the case that you are chayav in Chutz Laaretz. Same thing with Petach Hamor. He says that we see that people are being mafrish Petach Hamor, and so it must be applicable in Chutz Laaretz. But not evidence of the fact that from the Torah, it's obvious that these mitzvot have application in Chutz Laaretz, but simply the fact that people act this way in Chutz Laaretz is the reason by which we suggest that...
Isn't that backwards?
It is somewhat backwards, because they're not bringing evidence from the Torah, they're just bringing evidence from the practice. But that means that the assumption that the practice knew that that was the case, but that's the way that they are describing it. The other question that you could ask, and Tosafot raises this question against Rashi's position here, which is, how do you know they weren't just noeg midorabanan? Who says that they were noeg midoraita? Maybe it's just a din derabanan, and therefore you can't prove anything from it. Well, Tosafot answers like he did on the Mishnah, which says that our Mishnah does not differentiate between doraita and derabanan. How do we know that? Orla and kilayim. Orla is applicable aloha l'moshe misinai in Chutz Laaretz, but kilayim is only applicable midirabanan. Yet our Mishnah mentioned dinim derabanan. So even if you were to say that it was chaya midirabanan in Chutz Laaretz, Mishnah should have still addressed it, because we see that our Mishnah addresses issues derabanan. So that's how you answer that question of Tosafot, because we know that the Mishnah itself addresses these issues. The Ramban says, how do we know that tefillin apply in Chutz Laaretz? It's because of Parsha Vayayim Shamoah that we say every day. It says, V'avadtem mehera me'al aretz ha'tova asher Hashem noten lechem. And then afterwards it says, U'kshartem le'ot al yedchem. That the mitzvah of tefillin comes after the punishment in the Parsha Vayayim Shamoah that says that you're going to be thrown out of the land because you misbehave. And then it says, despite that fact, seemingly you're chayav in limud ha'Torah and the mitzvah of tefillin. So that's how he says we can prove from the psukim that the tefillin is a mitzvah that's applicable both in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz Laaretz. But the question that the Gemara remains with now is, then what is the meaning of the words here? So, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Chikamar, Kol mitzvah shi chuvat aguf, Noheged ben Baaretz ben Chutz Laaretz. This is the more traditional way that this Mishnah is explained. Again, here the conclusion of the Gemara. That's what it means is, She'eino tuluya baaretz means that it's a chuvat aguf. It's an obligation on the person, not on the land. Then that applies both in Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laaretz. Chuvata karka, something that is an obligation that derives from the land itself, the earth itself, ainu noeged ela ba'aretz, is only has application inside of Eretz Yisrael. Menahani mile, how do you know that that's the case? The Tanu Banan. Pasuk says, elo achukim, what are the chukim? Elo midrashot. These are the interpretations, whether this means midrashot in the sense of midrash halakha, or does this mean midrashot, these are derivations from the psukim that are not obvious or explicit. V'amishpatim elu adinim. These are the dinim, whether again this means civil law, or mishpatim, things that are obvious, or does this mean elu adinim, which are the dinim that derive from the midrashot. Asher tishmirun, that you should guard, zo mishnah. That's the learning of the material. Way Rashi reads it over here. Shemeviya l'idei maaseh. That this is the learning of the halacha that brings you to action. Because over here, he's reading the pasuk, Asher tishmirun la'asot. He's connecting between the tishmirun and la'asot. To tell you that whatever you learn now, that's halacha l'maaseh. La'asot, zo maaseh, that's the action or the activity itself. Ba'aretz, in the land of Israel. Yachol kol ha-mitzvot kulam lo yu'enu ha-gim el ha-ba'aretz. From this pasuk, it makes it sound like all mitzvot are only relevant inside of Eretz Yisrael. Right, that's what Rashi says in his commentary to Sefer Dvarim, that the mitzvot inside of Eretz Yisrael are the real mitzvot, and Chutz La'aretz is just practice. It's not the real thing. Tam lomar kol ha-yamim asher atem chayim al ha-adama. All the years that you live on the earth. Kol ha-yamim, if you think all the time, yochol yeinu ha-gim ben ba'aretz ben b'chutz la'aretz. It says kol ha-yamim means forever. Well, we know forever, they weren't in Eretz Yisrael forever. Wherever you live, and forever, you will be chayav in mitzvot. Makes it sound like you're chayav in things that are in Eretz Yisrael and in chutz la'aretz. It makes no difference. Tamalomar ba'aretz. That's why the pasuk before said only in Eretz Yisrael. Well, chashi ribakatuf umiyet. We have one pasuk telling you that mitzvot only apply in Eretz Yisrael. We have another pasuk telling you that mitzvot apply in Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. Say Olamed, Mimasha Mor Binyan. Look at contextually what is being spoken about in that case. Abeil to Abdun et Kol HaMakomot Asher Abdu Sham. We should wipe out all the places where Avodah Zarah is found. Ma'o Vodat Kochavim Yuchedet Shichuvat Aguf. So here we're going to learn Adavar Halamed Minyano. This is something that is contextually appropriate. And from that we will extend it, it's one of the Yud Gimel Midot that Rashi points out, to the application of this halacha. So that is Noeget Ben Baretz Ben Bechutz Laaretz. That's found on the pasuk Kol Yamim Asher Atem Chayim Al Adama. That is modified by Abed Abdun that you should wipe out the Avodah Zarah. So Avodah Zarah, which is a Chuvat Aguf, that has application both in Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laaretz. Avkoshi Chuvat Aguf, Noeget Ben Baretz Ben Bechutz Laaretz. But mitzvot that are tluyot Baretz, that are not tluyot Baguf, they only have application inside of Eretz Yisrael. The limud is somewhat difficult because the psukim over here are speaking about the uprooting of Avodah Zarah. They're not speaking about the worship of Avodah Zarah. And it's talking about the uprooting of Avodah Zarah, which is an obligation when you enter into the land of Israel to uproot the Avodah Zarah from the land itself. So some Rishonim just simply see this as an extension. Why do you have to uproot the Avodah Zarah? It's because there's an Easter of Avodah Zarah, and you're not allowed to worship Avodah Zarah. Others suggest that it's connected to the pasuk there that says, Lotasun Kein Lashem Elkeichem, that you may not do the same thing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is the Isra HaBamot, that you're not, just like the Ovdei Avodah Zarah are makriv wherever they feel like it, you can't do that to God. There where it says you can't do that to God, it says both you cannot uproot the Mizbeach or destroy things in the Mikdash, but also it as a restriction against you bringing korbanot wherever you feel like. And since you can't bring korbanot wherever you feel like, that's an Isur that applies both in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz La'aretz. And that's how the Gemara learns out here, Eretz and Chutz La'aretz. Although the truth is that the Gemara should have mentioned that. You're making out of a diuk from the psukim there, it should have mentioned bamot. So that makes that's the difficulty with that explanation. The Ramban pushes that explanation. And the difficulty with it is obviously that ikra chaser min ha-sefer. Here they brought the psukim of Beit Abdon, when the main focus is lo tasun kein l'shem elokeichem. But for that reason, the Mishonim are trying to resolve how exactly this becomes chuvat aguf and connects with these items over here. So at this point, the Gemara has determined that the Mishnah is speaking about mitzvot tluyot baretz means mitzvot that are tied to the production of the land itself. Those mitzvot only have application in Eretz Yisrael, of course, with the exceptions mentioned in the Mishnah. And then mitzvot that are not tied directly to the land, which are mitzvot chuvat aguf, apply both in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz La'aretz. Now the Gemara says, Chutz min orla v'kilayim. Ibailu. Abelazar l'kula palik, o l'chumra palik. This is what I mentioned. It's unclear what Rabbi Elazar is modifying in the Mishnah when he says, ah, l'chumra palik, he's going l'chumra and saying, t'vachi kamar, tanakama chutz min orla min akilayim. The exception to the rule is orla kilayim, de'ilchata gemir lo. Those are l'chumra moshe misinai, that they have application in Chutz La'aretz. That's only true with regards to Orla. Kilayim is a din d'rabbanan. Avagav the eagle meimar chuvat hakarkahi. Despite the fact that it's chuvat hakarka, these two have application in Chutz La'aretz. Aval chadash ba'aretz in b'chutz la'aretz lo. But the Tanakhama believes that chadash only applies into Eretz Yisrael and not in Chutz La'aretz. My daima, moshav. It says that Moshav, when you settle down, that's when it applies. Lachar Yerusha b'yeshiva mashma. So that says that Moshav means that only after you have done the conquering of the land, the distribution of the land, then you become chayav, because it says once you settle in the land. And that's what the word b'chol moshavotechem means with regards to the Omer, with regards to Chodosh. V'alta Rabbi Elazar l'meimar, Elazar comes to disagree with that and says, Af chadash noheg b'aretz ben b'chutz l'aretz. The Chodosh has application both in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz l'aretz. My taima, Moshav, when it says, by the din of the Omer, b'chol moshavotechem, that means, b'chol makom shatem yoshvim, anywhere you live. Right? So the two possibilities, and we're going to see this in the Gemara in a second, the two possibilities of mitzvot that say that, b'chol moshavotechem, or use the term moshav, in them, there are two possible interpretations of that. One possible interpretation means, moshav means to dwell, or to take up permanent residence. So that could be only after you've done kibush and chiluk. After you've conquered the land of Israel, you've distributed the land, then everybody can go live in their place and take permanent settlement. So that might be just a deferral of the mitzvah until you have moshav, until you permanently settled in Eretz Yisrael. But that would clearly say that the mitzvah is tuya ba'aretz, only applies in Eretz Yisrael. It's just held in abeyance until you have a moshav. The other possibility, b'chol moshavotechem, is that means anywhere you live. Anywhere you live means both in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz La'aretz, these mitzvot have application. That is exactly what the Gemara is presenting as the machloket here between the Tanakama and Rabbi Elazar. But in that case, Rabbi Elazar is the Chumrah, because he's saying that B'chol Moshvotechem means anywhere, both in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz La'aretz. Odel Ma'alukula Apolik. Or maybe he's trying to be Mekio. V'achik Amar Tanakama, Chutz V'nar Olav Yakilayim, Dehil Chata Gemir Lo. That Arlo and Kilayim are an exception to the rule because it's Halacha the Moshe Mishinai. V'chol Shekein Chadosh. And the Tanakhama says, yeah, if you're talking about Kilayim and Orla, which are only Halacha the Moshe Mishinai, those are an exception. Chadosh for sure is an exception to the rule of the Moshev. Because it uses the term Moshev Teichem there. Kol Makom Shatem Yoshvim Mashma. Means anywhere that you dwell. And that would have been an automatic result of what the Tanakhama says is when he says Chutz Min Arlavi Kilayim, he also means Min HaChadosh. Because Chadosh is so obvious that it applies. Lezer comes to teach you, no, Chodosh only applies in Eretz Yisrael. The Moshav, the Achar Yerushav Yeshiva Mashma. I mean, taking up exact opposite opinions is what we suggested before. That Moshav just means a delay of the effectiveness of the mitzvah, but not that it means anywhere that you live. Uma af. But then what does it mean, af? Also. What does it mean, also Chadash? Akamaita. That's referencing to the first statement of the Mishnah. So you can read the af as being a continuation of the second statement of the Tanakhama, which is, chutz min ha'arlav yekilayim. Rav says, af ha'chadash. So too, chadash falls into that category of the chutz min ha'arlav yekilayim. Or you can say, af ha'chadash is going back on the original part of the Mishnah, which says, these mitzvot only apply in Eretz Yisrael. Af ha'chadash. So too, chadash is also subject to those same rules as the beginning of the Mishnah. Tashma, damar rabbi, man tana de poli galei de Rabbi Elazar. Who's the one who argues on Rabbi Elazar? Rabbi Ishmaeli, the Tanya. L'meidcha shukom makom shneimar bo moshav, eno la'achar yushav yeshiva, tibri Rabbi Ishmael. So Rabbi Ishmael's opinion is clearly that the word moshav means when you reach a point of permanent dwelling, which means after kibush and chiluk in Eretz Yisrael, once you have a moshav, once you establish residence, that's when the mitzvah comes into effect. But that means that Rabbi Ishmael believes that it's only applicable in Eretz Yisrael, meaning that Rabbi Elazar is going to argue on that and say that it has application even outside of Eretz Yisrael, because Abaye just told us that who is the Tana that argues on Rabbi Elazar? It's Rabbi Ishmael. Well, if Rabbi Ishmael is the one who's arguing on him and Rabbi Ishmael is telling us that it only applies in Eretz Yisrael, that means that Rabbi Elazar obviously means or believes that the word Moshav means B'chol Moshavotechem anywhere, both in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz La'aretz. So that's the conclusion of the Gemara now. That Rabbi Elazar is the Chumrah in the Mishnah. Which again brings us back to the original discussion about the fact that this is a Dat Yachid now. And the Dat Yachid would be Koveya in this case if we pass when that Chodesh has application in Chutz La'aretz. That's part of the discussion in the Poskim as to why that is the case. Or why are we supporting a Dat Yachid? Mostly because we have support for it in other Mishnayot. In Shas, in Zraim, we have support for that. And those Mishnayot in Zraim are not said as a Dat Yachid. So therefore you have, based on that, and the Yerushalmi, you have support for this position that seems more generic or more the Rabbim. So now, Amar lo Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says to Rabbi Ishmael, Shabbat. What are you going to do with the fact that Shabbat says, Arshinemar bo moshavot? It says that the word moshav is used there. Neged ben baretz ben lechutz laretz. It's clear that Shabbat applies both in Eretz Yisrael and chutz laretz. Which pasuk are we speaking about? Okay, so very good. So Rashi says what you're saying, which is in the beginning of Parshat Vayakel, it says, lo tvaru esh b'chol moshavotechem b'yom ha-shabbat. So that would be the most obvious. It says there, b'chol moshavotechem, and there you have equal application of Shabbat, both in Eretz Yisrael and in chutz laretz. So he says, what are you talking about, Rabbi Shmuel? How can you say moshav means that anywhere, it only means in Eretz Yisrael? We clear that the mitzvah of Shabbat applies everywhere, and there the word moshav is being used to mean both wherever you live, means wherever you live, in Eretz Yisrael or in chutz laretz. Tosafot does not like that explanation of Rashi, and you can see here in the Tosafot, he says, v'lo nihira, based on the Gemara, we're going to see in a second in the Amud Bet, that the Gemara asks something, karach nira dekroach rinu hu dichtiv, Shabbat hi l'Hashem b'chol moshvotechem. He thinks it's the pasuk in Amor that says that it's Shabbat hi l'Hashem b'chol moshvotechem. He thinks that they're quoting that pasuk from Parshat Amor, because the Gemara in a second is going to ask about the Moladot. It seems to mean that it's implying that it's not just a place that's speaking about Shabbat. Over here, when you say lo tvaruesh b'chol moshvotechem, it's only about Shabbat. There are no other holidays there. But in Amor, where it's subsumed in the other holidays, then b'chol moshvotechem has relevance to the Moladot, and then you can understand what the Gemara is going to be asking afterwards. So Rashi says it's referring to that pasuk lo tvaruesh b'chol moshvotechem b'yom Shabbat, whereas Tosafot believes it's talking about the pasuk in Amor, which is Shabbat hi l'Hashem b'chol moshvotechem. Now, Rashi explains here, I'm going to defer the explanation as to what Rabbi Shmuel is speaking about. When he says Moshav, he's talking about the Parshat Nesachim, which is found in Parshat Shlach. And over there, they use the term Moshav, and he's building a binyanav from that, which says that anytime we're talking about Moshav, it's clearly about coming into Eretz Yisrael after Kibush V'chiluk. We're going to get to that in a second, because the Gemara itself is going to try to understand this machlok between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. So now he says, Amalei, Shabbat Kal V'chomer. Rabbi Shmuel responds to him and says, Shabbat is a Kal V'chomer. These mitzvot kalot apply both in Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz. Shabbat, Chamira, Lokol Shekein, Shabbat, which is one of the fundamentals of the faith, of course it's going to apply both in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz Laretz. It's an interesting limud only because, why should that matter? If you have the word Moshav, and the word Moshav means it only applies in Eretz Yisrael, why should that matter? Must be, or the real answer for Rabbi Shmuel is that Rabbi Shmuel's din is not just anytime it says Moshav in the Torah, it means Eretz Yisrael, not Chutz Laretz. Means any time the Torah uses the word Moshav, and it's talking about a mitzvah tluya ba'aretz, then it only applies in Eretz Yisrael. I mean, that you have to narrow the scope of his statement, not to mean that the word Moshav generically means anything in Eretz Yisrael. It means when you're talking about Moshav, and you're talking about a mitzvah that could be attributed to tluya ba'aretz, then it has relevance. By Shabbat, where it's not relevant to talk about tluya ba'aretz, then of course the word Moshav does not have that definition. But nevertheless, he brings down this Kal B'chomer. So now Gemara says, "Mid the Kamar Rabbi Mantana the Poligalei the Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shmuel." From the fact that Rabbi says the person who's arguing Rabbi Lazar is Rabbi Shmuel, Shma Mina, Rabbi Eliezer the Chumra Polig, Shma Mina, that Rabbi Lazar is the Chumra, because it's clear if he argues on Rabbi Shmuel, he thinks that Moshav means both in Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz, similar to Rabbi Akiva's argument on Rabbi Shmuel, and therefore Rabbi Eliezer would be the opinion in the Mishnah that is the Chumra and says Chodosh applies even in Chutz Laretz. Michtei, Rabbi Shmuel Ahechi Kai. Now let's go and understand, where is Rabbi Shmuel relevant? On Nisachim. His statement is made about Nisachim, again in Parshat Shlach, where it talks about the need to bring Nisachim, libations, with one's Korban. B'Nisachim, by Nisachim, Biyah u'Moshav k'tibu. By Nisachim, it not only uses the word Moshav, but it also uses the word Biyah. So now, it says there that when you come into the land, and then you settle in the land, right, so those two verbs are used. If that's the case, if you want to build a binyan av from that, you want to build a paradigm from that, then the only way you can build a paradigm is if you use both words. You can't use the word moshav and say that's the definition of the word moshav if that mitzvah is also introduced with the verb of kitavo al haaretz, that when you come into the land of Israel. So that's it. If that's the case, then you would have to require both of these in order for that to be true. That's what Gemara says, al chikamar. The Gemara here amends Rabbi Shmuel's statement to say not that the word Moshav means in Eretz Yisrael and only in Eretz Yisrael. It's when you have the combination of the words Biyah and Moshav, that's when it only has application in Eretz Yisrael. But once you do that, then Rabbi Kiva's question becomes a little strange. Rabbi Kiva challenged Rabbi Shmuel from B'chol Moshavotechem by Shabbat, Over there, the only word that appears is moshav. The word biyah does not appear. If that's the case, then Rabbi Akiva's question on Rabbi Shmuel is not relevant. Because he's asking for the word moshav. Rabbi Shmuel should just have answered him. Beyond moshav is what I'm saying. I'm not saying moshav. So, Yochi, Amar lo Rabbi Akiva, Rei Shabbat, Shnimar bo moshavot. So what did he answer him? Amar lo, Rabbi Shmuel responded to him, Shabbat kavachomi. Nemela ana biyah umoshav kamina. I never said the word moshav by itself means only in Eretz Yisrael. I said the word biyah and moshav means that. When it says chadavod gamar le, he's saying, I have one answer for you and another answer for you. One answer for you is chadadana biyah umoshav kamina. The first answer is, I require both words to be used there, which is the word biyah as well as moshav. Va'ot, and even without that, the gamar, tarei shabbat, shenemar bo moshavot, shabbat kal v'chomri. That is the kal v'chomer. So he says, not only is your question premised on the wrong fact, which is you only have the word moshav and not biyah, but besides that, even if you were right, there's still a kavachomer that would ruin your question. Now, Gemara asks, by my kamifligate, what are they arguing about? So this is a very difficult question in the Gemara, because we just explained what they're arguing about. They're arguing about the word moshav. And what's the meaning of the word moshav? Does moshav mean to dwell in Eretz Yisrael after kibush v'chiluk? Does moshav mean b'chol moshvotechem, anywhere that you dwell? That is by my kamifligate. So how can the Gemara ask now, what are they arguing about? So either you have to suggest here with the way Rashi does. Rashi says, "Ma'ika miflegei ma ra Rabbi Kiva shol amad Rabbi Shmuel." Rashi's not asking what's their fundamental machloket, but rather why did Rabbi Kiva argue on Rabbi Shmuel? Doesn't make sense. Rabbi Shmuel has strong evidence that he's correct over here, and he's bringing it from the psukim. What made Rabbi Kiva think otherwise? That's the way Rashi reads "Ma'ika miflegei." Others read that "Ma'ika miflegei" means "Ma'i benayu." What's the nafkamina between them, or what's the pivotal halacha that explains to us the difference between them? And this is what the Gemara says, Bekirvu nisachim bamidbar kamiflege. They argue about the fact that, as to whether libations were brought in the midbar. Now, the truth is that that's also not questionable, because they definitely brought libations in the midbar. We know that from Parshat Tzav, Parshat Shmini, in the consecration of the Mishkan. We know that they brought Nisachim along with the Korbanot there. So you could claim that that is Horat Sha'ah, or those were just the Sha'ah. The way they explain it is that we're talking about their Korbanot HaTzibur in Parshat. And also, we have numerous other instances. Parshat HaTamid is also mentioned in Tetzaveh. There are many places that we see Korbanot that are mentioned that include Nisachim. So there's overwhelming evidence that there were Nisachim brought in the Midbar. So the machloket revolves around whether they were Nisachim, libations brought with the Korbanot HaYachid in the Midbar. Now that has implications as to what you think then the tzivoy by the Nisachim and Parshat Shlach is referencing. Rashi actually discusses it on the previous Amud, and he explains to us the shita of the Tanat de Rabbi Shmuel is, Dlo bakatuv elatinam Nisachim nebamot tzibur. That the reason that Parshia in Shlach that is written by Nisachim is to come to teach you that in the central bamot, which means a mizbeach that exists outside the context of a Mishkan or a Middash, that central Bamat HaTzibur, was there a requirement of bringing Nisachim for a Yachid on those Bamot? And not by a Bamat Yachid, not for individuals by themselves, because it says in the Psukim there, Asher Ani Noten Lachem, that I am giving to you, you in the plural, and that is Bamama Nogeget Lekuchem. Saying about a Bama, saying about a Mizbeach, that is applicable or relevant to all of you. So that is only a case of a Bamat Tzibur. And therefore, the word Moshvotechem over there teaches you that not anywhere that you dwell, not anywhere that you are found do you do this, because by definition, Bamat Tzibur is only found in one location. Bamat Tzibur can't be everywhere because it's a central Mizbeach. And the central Mizbeach is only found in one location. So therefore, the words Moshvotechem cannot mean anywhere that you dwell, but rather, it has to teach you that only after kibush v'chiluk does this din of Nisachim come into effect. And that means that only once the Mishkan Shiloh was established, then they brought Nisachim, they brought libations for Korbanot HaYachid that were brought on the Bamat HaTzibur. So for Rabbi Yishmael, in the Midbar, Yechidim did not bring Nisachim with their Korbanot, only Korbanot HaTzibur. Even once they enter into Eretz Yisrael, still Yechidim don't bring Nisachim with their Korbanot, because of Moshvotechem, which means you have to wait until Kibush and Chiluk are done. Once Kibush and Chiluk are done, and there's the establishment of Mishkan Shiloh, or you have the Bamot, after the destruction of Shiloh, where you have the Bamot HaTzibur, then there's an obligation both for Korbanot HaTzibor and Korbanot HaYachid to bring Nisachim. And that's what the Parshia in Shlach is speaking about. Korbanot HaYachid that are bought on a Bamat HaTzibor, they require a Nisachim. But then for him, the word Moshe Boteichem means after Kibush V'chilot, and not anywhere you dwell. On the other hand, Rabbi Kiva believes that Yechidim brought Nisachim even in the Midbar. So now, if they already brought Nisachim in the Midbar, that's something that was already in effect, and it's not something that I needed Sivoy in Shlach to tell me that the Yechidim bring Nisachim. So that must be coming to tell me some new din that I didn't know before. And so for him, he learns B'chol Moshe Boteichem means anywhere you dwell, means it's referring to a Bamat Yechid. It's referring to the Mizbeach of an individual. And telling you that when you have a Bamat Yechid, individuals have to bring Nisachim on those Korbanot that they bring on the Bamat Yechid. And that's what the Parshia and Shlach is teaching you. B'chol Moshe Boteichem, anywhere you dwell, there's an obligation of Nisachim. That starts immediately when you enter into Eretz Yisrael. Because Chol Moshe Boteichem is not saying after Kibush V'chiluk, once you have settled down. Rather, Chol Moshe Boteichem is literally anywhere you live, anywhere you bring a Bama, Bama Tayachid, you bring Nisachim on that Bama. And that's the Chiddush of Rabbi Kiva. To teach me that a Yachid has to bring Nisachim with his Korban, I don't need that. That we already started in the Midbar. Just because it wouldn't stop. If they did already in the Midbar, you can't stop it once they came in. So it must be teaching me something incremental about Nisachim. The incremental din is that not only when there's a central mizbeach do you bring nisachim, but even when it's a dispersed mizbeach, b'chol Moshe Boteichem, b'mat yachid, even in those cases where the private mizbeach in your backyard, you have to bring nisachim along with your korbanot yachid. And that is then the fundamental machloket between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel in this case, which is not that whether they brought nisachim in the midbar is the fundamental machloket, but that precipitates a different interpretation of B'chol Moshe Boteichem with regards to the Nisachim that are found in Shlach. Because depending on whether they brought Nisachim in the Midbar will influence whether the din of B'chol Moshe Boteichem means after you've settled down after Kibush V'chiluk, or B'chol Moshe Boteichem means literally anywhere you are dwelling. But that interpretation is precipitated by what they believed was true in the Midbar, and therefore their interpretation is colored by that. And that's what it means by my flagate. This is what precipitated the difference in their opinions as to how to explain B'chol Moshe Boteichem. And therefore for Rabbi Kiva, the Biyah, the entering into the land, is literally when the Chiyuv goes into effect. Whereas for Rabbi Shmuel, it is postponed until Moshav, until you have settled down after Kibush V'chilup. Amar Abai, Hai Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel, Mepik Midach Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel. This Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel argues or is of a different opinion than this other Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel. The Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel v'nemar biot b'Torah stam. Throughout the Torah it says that certain mitzvot only take effect when you enter into the land of Israel. Prat lecha ketuv be'echad mehem, and by one of them, by the king, the appointment of a king, it says over there, lachar yirusha v'yishiva, only after you conquered and you distributed the land, because it says, ki tavo la'aretz v'yirashta v'yishavta ba. So there it's clear that the Biyah means after Yerusha v'Yeshiva. Af kol lachar Yerusha v'Yeshiva. So too, anywhere in the Torah where it uses the word Biyah, it means after Kibush v'Chiluk. That is, it sets up a binyanav. Sets up the precedent by which the word Biyah in the Torah is always going to mean not just when you immediately enter the land, but postponed till after Kibush v'Chiluk. And therefore, from that, he'll extrapolate to all other viot in the Torah. Now, the truth is, it's not clear what the difference is between these two Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuels, because in the end, they result in the same dinim, being that when you have, according to one Tana Debei Shmuel, you have Biyan Moshav. It means you have to wait until after Kibush V'chiluk. And according to the other Tana Debei Shmuel, anytime you have the word Biyah, by definition, it is after Kibush V'chiluk, because that's the definition of Biyah. So some Rishonim say that there is no nafkamina between these two Shitot. The only difference between them is the method of drasha, but not that there's a halachic nafkamina. B'nai Yeshua over here spends time showing that there are certain instances where there will be even a nafkamina halacha between these two Tana Debei Rabbi Shmuel. Tosfot asks the question. It says, "B'parsha Balotcha b'chodesh Rishon." B'parsha Balotcha, where Rashi discusses about the Korban HaPesach that B'nai Yisrael brought in the Midbar, he says there that that is out of order. Parshat Balotcha is out of order because over there it says that that was in Nisan when they brought the Korban HaPesach. Parshiot in the beginning of Midbar already, B'chodesh HaSheni, which already on the second month, which is Iyar already. So Torah Rashi says, Mikan, She'en Mukdam U'Muchar B'Torah, that the Torah does not have chronological order. And this Parshia about the Korban HaPesach is before the earlier Parshiot and Bamidbar. So then he says, why did it postpone it? Why did the Torah write it in chronological order? Why does it put it out of order? You can always argue, and that Rashi does this, that the Torah is not necessarily in chronological order. But as soon as you say that, you have to explain why. I mean, that it's okay to say the Torah is not in chronological order, but then if the Torah intentionally makes something out of order, you have to understand why that is, or you have to explain why that is. The Ramban is much more makpid and says that the Torah is always in order, unless it specifies otherwise. Here it happens to specify otherwise because it gives you dates. But Rashi says, based on the Midrash Chazal, which is that, Gnutan Shel Bnei Yisrael. It was speaking about the denigration of Bnei Yisrael, because they only brought this Korban HaPesach, but for the 40 years in the Midbar, they did not bring the Korban HaPesach. So now Tosfot asks, Vim Tomar, Lama Lo Hikripu? Why didn't they bring the Korban HaPesach? Why didn't they bring it? Vyosh Lomar, Tosfot says, the Svira Lohu, Ketana Dehocha. They hold like the Tana here, Damar, Shekol Makom Shneimar Bia, Eino Leachar Yerusha V'Yeshiva. That Bia is the definition of the word Bia, means after Yerusha and Yeshiva. Uba Pesach Neimar Bia. And by Pesach it says when you come into the land. So they thought you were not Chayav in Korban HaPesach until after Kibush V'Chiluk. Alright, if that's the case, why did they bring the Korban HaPesach in the Midbar? Why did they bring the Korban HaPesach in the time of Yoshua? What's the answer? Vim Tomar, Kin Hekrim Pesach? He says, that was Alpia Dibur. That those Sochim were Horah from Hashem. Alpia Dibur, they did them, but they were the exceptions to the rule, not the rule. But then he says, if that's the case, Shekhem Min Adin, that they didn't bring the Pesach, then why was it a negative that they didn't bring the Pesach? Rashi says, Pashat Balotcha is postponed until later on because it was a gnut that they only brought it now and not the rest of the time. What do you mean? They're not chayav until after Kibush V'Chiluk. So how is that a gnut of Bnei Yisrael? So what if Tosfot the answer? He says that the fact that you had to wander in the Midbar for 40 years and you postponed it, you caused the delay of the start of the Korban HaPesach because you did the Chet HaMeraglim. That's the gnut of Bnei Yisrael. Then Tosfot brings another opinion. V'od Yesh Lamar, V'Sfilei Kehai Tana. They hold like the Anatana to be Reishmel. The Bia Katuv, Gabe Tfilin, Mashma, Asim Mitzvuzu, B'Shvila Tikanes Laretz. That they hold like this Deya that we just explained by Tfilin and Petra Chamor, that Pesach's in that same category, which means that if you do this mitzvah, it'll bring you into the land. So therefore the Bia there doesn't mean wait until after Kibush V'Chiluk, it means right away you're Chayav. So if that's the case, now we understand why it was a Gnut, because they only brought one Pesach, they didn't bring Pesach the rest of the time. But then, so then why don't they do the Knesset the first year in the Midbar? What about all those other years in the Midbar? It says, most of them were uncircumcised. Because after they had a Brit Milah in Mitzrayim, the next time they do a Brit Milah is in the time of Yoshua. In the Midbar they don't do a Brit Milah. Why not? So the Gemara says in other places, because Mo Nashva Ruach Tzvonit. They didn't have the northerly wind that blew, that is a healing wind, and therefore it was dangerous to give Brit Milah in the Midbar. So that was called Arbeim Shana Bayamar, they didn't give it. Because of the Chet HaMeraglim, the wind didn't blow. And so because the wind didn't blow, therefore they couldn't give Brit Milah. So that's the Gnut. The Gnut is, yes, they couldn't bring it because they were Arelim, but because they were Arelim was caused by the fact that they had done Chet HaMeraglim, because Chet HaMeraglim caused that the wind didn't come, the healing wind didn't come, and that's why they didn't bring it, and that's the Gnut. But in either case, Tosfot defends Bnei Yisrael in a sense that they weren't obligated to bring the Korban HaPesach. They either are Arelim, or they were not Chayavim until after Kibush V'Chiluk. The whole Gnut stems from the Chet HaMeraglim that caused the problem in both of these instances, which is very interesting. Interesting. Tosfot has other nafkaminot in terms of whether you can learn things from the Korban HaPesach and the Midbar, and Yoshua, because are they Horat Sha'ah, like the first answer of Tosfot, then you may not be able to learn things from them. Or were they the regular Korban Pesach, but couldn't do it afterwards with Arelim, then you could extrapolate, then you could learn Dinim from them. That might have an Afkamino in terms of Alochot that you can extrapolate or learn from those Korbanei Pesach.
V'idach, mishum dahava melech ibikurim, shnei ketuvim abayim keachad. So the other Tana Debei Yishmol does not see this as a paradigm, because I have two psukim that have bi'ah written in them, as well as Yerusha v'Yeshiva, and that means that they are now the exception to the rule rather than the rule. They're not the paradigm They are rather the exception because the Torah went out of its way to specify in these two instances that biyah does not only mean biyah in these instances, but it means biyah after Yerusha and Yeshiva.
The other Tana of the Bei Rabbi Shmuel believes that once you have biyah and moshav put together, that is the way or the paradigm by which we establish that it has to be biyah and then moshav. The definition of the word moshav is that only after kibush v'chiluk. As opposed to this Tana of the Bei Rabbi Shmuel who's learning it out from the fact that I have a paradigm by where I see biyah, and the biyah there is defined by, first of all, v'yirashta, v'yishavta ba, and that establishes a precedent. The other Tana of Bei Shmuel doesn't like that because I have two of those precedents. If I have two of those precedents, they become the exception rather than the rule. So now, v'idach, what about the other Tana of the Bei Rabbi Shmuel? That Tana of the Bei Rabbi Shmuel, who they have the two psukim, they have bikurim and melech, how does he explain his way out of that problem? He can explain it like we did at last week's dapim, where if you can prove there's a tzriche, if you can prove that both of the psukim are necessary, you wouldn't be able to learn one from the other, then it's not shnei ketuvim abayim kechad. And so that's what he does over here, which is idach tzriche, diik adav rachmanam melech, v'lokad abikurim, had I only had melech and abikurim, avamin abikurim, dekam mitane la'alter, that the reason that bikurim applies immediately is because you get hana from them. Since you get hana from them immediately, you should be chayav in the mitzvah immediately. So then, how do I know that it's postponed until after kibush v'chiluk? Because the pasukim tell you that you have to wait. V'ikadav bikurim, had I only written bikurim, lo kadav melech, and I didn't have melech, I would not have been able to extrapolate to the melech. Havina melech the darko l'chbosh, l'alter, that the king is one who conquers immediately. I mean that the job of the king is to conquer Eretz Yisrael, and therefore it should be applicable right away. As soon as you're conquering Eretz Yisrael, there should be a relevance to the mitzvah of appointing a king, because that's his job. His job is to help Bnei Yisrael conquer. V'idach. So what about the other Tana de Beis Shmuel? Nichtov rachmana melech, v'lo ba'i bikurim. You have to write melech, and you won't need bikurim, and amina. Ma melech lichbosh, lachar yirushav yeshiva. Even though the job of the king is to conquer, and yet that mitzvah is still postponed until after kibush v'chiluk, bikurim lo koshikei. Certainly bikurim should be in that category. Now what happened to the other tzad? I mean that the other Tana of the Bei Shmuel told you that bikurim is because you get hana immediately. What the Rishonim say over here is that hana is a much lighter explanation than kibush of a melech. It's so obvious that the king should have been appointed right as they entered Eretz Yisrael to lead them and to lead the battles. And the fact that the Torah still postpones that mitzvah shows you that that's not a relevant factor. And hana, okay, that's an interesting idea, it's a little thing, but it's not so relevant over here. If that's what you wrote, I would have thought that the din is like challah. Kamash malon, that it's not like that. So the din of challah is different than all other dinim because of the way that the Torah says bavachem instead of using the other lashonot of biyah that are used by other mitzvot of the Torah. And therefore the mitzvah of challah is applicable immediately versus the other mitzvot which have a postponed term until you come in. Everybody agrees that challah implies immediately because it says bavachem. It says mishunah mi all the biyot. The other biyot say kitavou. All the other lishonot of biyah are formulations of biyah, but here by challah it says bavachem. Because of that change in language, everybody agrees it's applicable immediately. So I would have thought bikurim are just like challah, and therefore they should be applicable immediately. That's why I have to specify bikurim, and I wouldn't have known it from melech. It wouldn't have been enough to learn it from melech. Kamash malan, that's not the case. So according to that Tana de Bei Shmuel, you need both bikurim and melech. Since you need both of them, they're not shnei ketuvim abayim kechad. According to the other Tana de Bei Shmuel, which says that you could have learned it out of melech to bikurim, then they're shnei ketuvim abayim kechad, and that can't be the paradigm by which we learn it. Therefore, they use biyah and moshav as the source, rather than just the word biyah based on a binyanav from melech. Now that you tell me that chuvot aguf applied both in Eretz Yisrael and chutz laaretz, moshav dechtiv rachmana gabei shabbat lamali. So this is just your question, which is that once we've established already the distinction has to do with mitzvot atzuyot baaretz and mitzvot aguf, then the word moshav that appears in many places no longer has relevance. Now, if it's telling you b'chol moshavotechem, anywhere that you dwell, then we know that already. By definition, it's anywhere you dwell because it's a chovat haguf. So if it's a chovat haguf, then why do I need a specific pasuk to tell me b'chol moshavotechem means anywhere that you live? Okay, again, by mitzvot atzuyot ba'aretz, it's helpful to know moshav because of the Tana of the Bei Shmuel. Because that might postpone it until after Kibush V'chiluk. But on the other hand, when you have Moshav that's written by Chubat HaGuf, what's the relevance of writing B'chol Moshvoteichem? So the Gemara now goes through each of these items. Moshav Dichtiv Grachman Agabe Shabbat Lamali. Moshav that's written by Shabbat, why do I need it? Itzrich. Zachda, I mean the whole Binyana de Moadot Ktiva. Shabbat is written in the Parshia Moadot. Tibaya Kiddush Ki Moadot. That it will require sanctification like the Moadot. Kamash Malan. That teaches us that Moshav B'moshvoteichem. Now, what's interesting here, and this is what drove Tosfot to say that the B'chol Moshvoteichem is not what Rashi said. Rashi said the B'chol Moshvoteichem is lo dvaruesh B'chol Moshvoteichem yom HaShabbat. Here the Gemara says it's written in the Parshat HaMoadot. Over there, it's only speaking about Shabbat. It is not speaking about the Moadot. So then how do you explain that? Now obviously Rashi is just going to say, we find other Parshiot where Shabbat is connected to Moadot. This may not be the place where it's written Moshavot. But that there are cases where it's applicable. You can separate the two issues. Tosfot was uncomfortable with that, and that's why Tosfot says that Moshvoteichem is the Moshvoteichem from Emor, and not the Esh Moshvoteichem that is found in Parshat Vayakel. Now, the other thing, what is the limud over here? So you would have thought it requires Kiddush, which is Beit Din, and we know Beit Din only has Kiddush Kodesh in Eretz Yisrael, in Yehuda, meaning that where the Shechina is Shoreh, that's where you do Kiddush HaKodesh. So I would have thought that is an application of Kiddush HaKodesh, or Kiddush HaYom, that applies to Beit Din, also for Shabbat. The answer is, B'chol Moshvoteichem. Anywhere you dwell. Well, anywhere you dwell, that's not possible, because Kiddush is limited in scope to Eretz Yisrael. So B'chol Moshvoteichem teaches you that that is not just applicable in Eretz Yisrael, but anywhere. And by definition, it's applicable anywhere. You don't need Kiddush for it. You don't need to sanctify it. Shabbat is Kiddusha V'kaima Mimaseh Breshit. It's Kadosh by itself, by design, because it happens every 7 days. And you don't need Kiddush HaChodesh like you do by the Moadot, which is the Kedusha is established by Beit Din. Moshav dechtev Rachman agabe chele vedam lomali. So by chele vedam it says, chukat olam v'dor techem b'chol moshvei techem, kochele v'chol dam lo tochelu. So right, dam and chele, why do you need b'chol moshvei techem? Those are chuvat haguf, not chuvat hakarka. Obviously they apply everywhere. It's trich, this is very important. Din sagadat chamino v'inyona de kurbanot k'tivei. Chelev and Dam, whenever they're mentioned, the Yisuf Chelev Dam, that's in Sefer Vayikra, it's always mentioned in conjunction with the Korbanot. Bezman deiko Korban, nitzar Chelev and Dam. Bezman deleko Korban, lo. But only when the Korbanot are relevant, is there an Yisuf Chelev Dam? When the Korbanot are not relevant, there should be no Yisuf Chelev and Dam. Kamash Malan, b'chol moshvoteichem, is anywhere. Everywhere, anytime, there is an Yisuf Chelev and Dam. Why is this important? Because why is Chelev and Dam asur? Chelev and Dam are asur, and the context in which it's written in Vayikra is because Chelev and Dam belong on the Mizbeach. Those are the parts of the Korbanot that go on the Mizbeach. Therefore, when you shecht a Korban, or you shecht an animal that's not put on the Mizbeach, there's a restriction against you eating the Chelev and Dam, which are really the parts that belong to the Mizbeach. So now you could understand, possibly, that only when Korbanot are relevant is there an Isur of Chelev Dam. Makes a lot of sense. Only when you otherwise, had you brought a korban, that would have ended up in the mizbeach. When you make it chulin, you can't eat it. But when there's no korbanot, maybe that restriction shouldn't apply. No korbanot, then they would not have ended up on the mizbeach. So they would have ended up on the mizbeach. When you eat chulin, maybe there should be no restriction of chelev dam. And so actually, it's not such a far-fetched idea here to say such a thing. That's why the Torah says, b'chol moshvoteichem, it applies whether the korbanot are in effect or not in effect, it still applies. Moshav tichtiv grachmana gabi matzo maror lomali in yonah deyoma. What about by the case of matzah in maror? By matzah maror, it says b'chol moshvoteichem tochlu matzot. So it says anywhere that you dwell, you eat matzot. Why do I need that? Again, chuvat haguf, not chuvat hakarka. So why is that the case? Sagadat gamino ol'viktiv am matzot u'morim yochlu. You would think that matzot and morim are connected to Korban HaPesach, Bizman Deika Pesach in, Bizman Deleka Pesach, lo. When the Pesach is in effect, then there's a din of Matzah Maror. When the Pesach is not in effect, then not. Kamash Malan, that's not the case. And Matzah Maror apply even without the Korban HaPesach. Now that's very difficult, because, first of all, by Matzah, that is true. By Matzah, Matzah is an independent mitzvah of a Korban HaPesach. But we learn that out of Be'erev Tochlu Matzot. So then why do you need the word Moshvot to teach you that? We have a separate pasuk that already teaches you that. One question. Number two is, by Maror, that is not true at all. There is a machlok between the Balei HaTosafot and the Rambam as to whether Maror is an independent mitzvah. Even Bizman Beit HaMikdash, when there was a Korban Pesach, the Rambam doesn't see Maror as an independent mitzvah. He says, Amatzot Umarorim Yochlua. It's a secondary mitzvah, or it's pulled along with the Korban HaPesach. It's something that accompanies, it's a condiment to the Korban HaPesach. It's not an independent mitzvah, and the Rambam in the Minyan HaMitzvot does not count Maror as a separate mitzvah. Balei HaTosafot and others believe that Bizman, that the Pesach is around, there is a mitzvah d'oraita of Maror, but again, today, when there is no Korban HaPesach, everybody agrees that Maror is Dirabonon, and there's no application of it. First of all, what you have to suggest is that it's only going on Matzah, not on Maror, because even according to the Balei HaTosafot, who thinks that it's d'oraita, it's only when the Pesach, when you eat it together with the Pesach. Nobody thinks that when you eat it separate from the Pesach, there's a din d'oraita. Everybody agrees it's only a din Dirabonon. So now, what do you do with the fact that we have two psukim now telling us that you're chayav in matzot? One that says, berem tochu matzot, and one that's telling you, b'chol moshvoteichem. So which one is the source? So the answer is probably along the lines of what the Balei HaTosafot suggests over here. You can say, moshav dichtiv rachmana begabi matzah lamalei tema. The sof arei psachim, the end of arei psachim, kof kof kof, might be kmine, the kovo chova, bizman hazeh. Yishlamar, shema tanaehi, haitana mapiklei mi erev tochu matzot. Tosfot at first says, maybe it is a machloket Tanaim, that there is two different sources for the fact that matzah is an obligation bizman hazeh. One is berev tochlu matzot, which is, by the way, a pasuk that's taken out of context, parsed improperly. There is no such pasuk as berev tochlu matzot. Something, the erev there is not modifying the matzot, it's modifying the time period in which you eat matzot. Anyway, so that's very likely that you have another source here, which is b'chol moshvotechem. Then the next Tosfot says, Vim Tomar, Biya Gavi Pesach Lamali. And then he brings here, Vyesh Lamar, the Trey Kroi, Moshvatichem, Erev Tochlu Matzot Trichei. Need both of them. Chad, Luchutz Laaretz, Bizman Shebeit HaMikdash Kayam. One for Chutz Laaretz when the Beit HaMikdash is extant. Vchad, Luchutz Laaretz, Bizman Shein Beit HaMikdash Kayam. You have two different issues. One is which, when you bring a Korban Pesach, and the Korban Pesach is available, and they're bringing them in the Mikdash, how do I know that there's still an obligation to eat matzot at that time? So that comes from B'chol Mosh Voteichem. How do I know that even when there is no Beit HaMikdash, there's no Korban Pesach at all, and there's no connection to Korban Pesach, I still eat matzah? Berev Tochlu Matzot. But also it says in the end, maybe I need both psukim to teach me two different dinim. One din is when you have the possibility of bringing the Korban Pesach, that despite the fact that you didn't bring it, there's still an obligation of matzah. And number two is, when there is no Korban Pesach at all, that there's a mitzvah of matzah. So Tosfot in the end, after going and suggesting maybe it's machloket Tanaim, comes up with a tzrichuta as to why you would need both psukim, for chutz laaretz bizman beit ha-mikdash, and chutz laaretz shelo bizman beit ha-mikdash. One other thing I would add is that the Gemara in other places discusses the fact that arelim, someone who's an arel who can't bring a Korban Pesach, how do we know that he's chayav in matzot umaror? Because there it says, matzot umarim yochlu, that you have to eat it only when you have a Korban HaPesach. So that could be another possibility of what the B'chol Moshvoteichem is coming to include, not just in Chutz Laaretz, but people who are unable to bring the Korban HaPesach, that they're still chayav in Matzah Maror. You would have thought you have to wait until Pesach Sheni, Kamash Malan, that even on Pesach Rishon, you're chayav in Matzah Maror, despite the fact that you're not bringing the Korban HaPesach. So that would be the equivalent of being in Chutz Laaretz. You could be in Eretz Yisrael and still be like you're in Chutz Laaretz because you can't bring the Korban HaPesach. It's just an extension of what the Tosafot said. I mean, it's the same thing, but just, it could be even in Eretz Yisrael, an Arel, someone who is, for whatever reason, can't bring the Korban Pesach, he's too old, he can't eat a Kazayit, whatever the reason is, then he would still be Chayav in Matzah to Maror, that will come from B'chol Mosh Voteichem, the obligation to eat Matzah, despite that fact. Right now, the Gemara keeps on going asking, Bia Dichtiv Rachmana Gabi Tzvilin and Petra Chamor Lamali, the question that you asked before, then, if this is the case, that mitzvah chovat aguf applied ben ba'aretz, ben b'chutz la'aretz, then what do I need? Biyah. That when ki tavo al aretz have application by petar chamor and by tefillin. Of course they apply. What's ki tavo? They apply outside of Eretz Yisrael as well. Ha'u mi boile de tana de bei Rabbi Shmuel, asem mitzvah zu, shpishvilah tikaneis la'aretz. Do these mitzvot in order that you should enter into the land. These are mitzvot that bring you back to Eretz Yisrael. So that's how they explain Biyaz, what we mentioned before, that the Gemara comes around and explains it that way. Bishlam alamandamar, Moshav, komakom shatem yoshvim mashma. Makes sense, the one who says Moshav means anywhere you live. Anu yachtiv, that's what it means. Vayachlu me'abur aretz, mi'macharat ha'pesach. It means that they ate from the produce of the land, on the day after Pesach. Mimachar Pesach achol, mikara lo achol. Only from the after the day of Pesach did they do this, but mikara lo achol. But from before that, they did not do it. Alma al kruv omer v'hadar achol. That means that they brought the omer and then they ate it. Meaning that immediately, this is a pasuk in Yoshua, when they first enter into the land of Israel, talking about Yud Nisan, Yud Alek Nisan, they have the Brit Milah, then they bring the Korban of Pesach on Yudalit, and it says, Mimachar HaPesach, Klu Mi'avur Aretz. They ate from the produce of the land on the next day. Why did they have to wait till the next day? Because that was after HaKravat HaOmer. So after they brought the Omer, then were they able to eat the Chodosh. They would eat from the produce of the land. That only works if you say B'chol Moshevotechem means anywhere that you dwell, that there's an obligation of Chodosh. If you say B'chol Moshevotechem means only after Kibush V'chiluk, then why in the time of Yoshua were they worried about Chodosh? They could have eaten right away. They didn't have to wait till after the Omer. So therefore it makes sense. We're going to deal with the other opinion in tomorrow's daf, as to the one who says B'chol Moshevotechem means only after Kibush V'chiluk. How do we understand this Tzukim and Yoshua? But before we get there are plenty of issues with this Pasuk itself. It says over here, Mimacharat HaPesach. Pesach is when? Pesach is brought on the 14th of Nisan. Macharat HaPesach is the 15th of Nisan. Tosfot over here quotes the Eben Ezra. Tosfot here quotes the Eben Ezra's Perush on Yoshua. The Eben Ezra says, I don't understand. And it says, Mimacharat HaPesach. Macharat HaPesach is the 15th and not the 16th. That does not fix with this Gemara. It says they're thinking about the next day. So how do you deal with that? Vomer Rav Zeinu Tam. That the Eben Ezra is right. It means the 15th of Nisan. So he says, Mavur Aretz doesn't mean the produce of the land, but the old stuff of the land they ate on Machrat Pesach on the 15th. Because they only eat the new stuff on the 16th. That's the way the Rabbeinu Tam, he upholds the question of the Eben Ezra and says, Machrat Pesach here really means the 15th. And not the 16th. And by the way, the Eben Ezra proves that from the Torah. The Torah says, "Machar Pesach, they left Mitzrayim," which means on the 15th they left Mitzrayim. So Machar Pesach really means the 15th. Tosfot over here says you have to look in context. Every context is different, and therefore Machar Pesach has different meanings in different places. And he writes this: Lashon Torah lechud, Lashon Neviim lechud, Lashon Chachamim lechud. You have to look in each context and the way that it's used. And in the Torah, Machar Pesach means the 15th. In Navi, Mimachar HaPesach means the 16th, and you have to differentiate. It's interesting from a number of perspectives, one of which is the fact that Tosfos is quoting the Eben Ezra, the question of the Eben Ezra, and the Rabbeinu Tam accepts the position of the Eben Ezra and explains the Gemara Alpi, the Eben Ezra, whereas Tosfos in the end rejects that understanding of the Eben Ezra. Now, Tosfos over here, interesting Tosfos, says, Yishalmi asks, why didn't they eat matzah from Chodosh, because it's an asei dochalot asei. Now you have the assay of eating matzah, lot assay of chodosh, which we assay docha lot assay. It's very interesting. It says there that ein assay kodem adibor, docha lot assay la'achar adibor. An assay from prior to Har Sinai can't be docha lot assay that's from after Sinai. Inami yesh lomar gzeirah kzayit mishona to gzayit sheni. A possibility that only the first gzayit you'll be able to eat, but after you eat the first gzayit, then you're in problem with lot assay. So similar to other times we have assay docha lot assay, we don't allow you to do it. We just saw that by Yifat Tawar, Kohen Gadol, and Yibom Yifat. Other cases where you can only eat a finite amount of the assay, and therefore we worry about you violating it once you extend beyond that finite amount. With that, we're going to stop. We end here on the first line on the top of Lamechet Amud Aleph.